Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another weekend bite-sized political podcast. Who says I don't give you good value even over the weekend? I try to keep these coming as much as I can because, there's so much to cover, isn't there? We've got a little time to be able to cover them. And the story, I guess, that's dominated a lot of the UK media for the last couple of weeks now has been the Philip Schofield saga. It's become a soap opera, actually, hasn't it? And I know I have covered it, but there was one aspect of it that I wanted to just to touch on, and that is that you will have seen the interviews that Philip Schofield gave to the BBC. And in this interview, he pretty much plays the victim card for all it's worth. And he's sort of saying, you know, he's had dark thoughts. He's had very, very dark thoughts. It's only his daughters that stopped him going into that dark void that those thoughts emerge from. So hinting at what, Philip, you were going to kill yourself, but your daughters keep you going. So hinting at that. He also hinted at the fact that he feels that a lot of the abuse that he's got, a lot of the anger directed towards him, it's homophobic. Yeah, homophobic. Just because he's a gay man. You know, if he was a straight man, he wouldn't have had the same level of the intensity of kickback against him. So we've got Philip saying these things. And then we look at some of the response. And you can see that, for example, some elements of the press are saying now, maybe it's time for us to accept the fact that he's bared his soul. He's done a mea culpa. He's acknowledged his wickedness. And maybe it's time to care about this, you know, to be caring for Philip Schofield and not to be harsh on him the way many have been for the past couple of weeks. And I've seen this now starting to pop up. The Daily Mirror, for example, surprise, surprise, ran a piece on why we should be more understanding of him. And it's time to ease off now. After all, he's confessed his sins and it's time to move on. Well, I'm not sure that we can really accept that he has confessed his sins, because this is a chap who's told us now that he's been lying for many years to everybody, apparently. However, now we have to accept that all of a sudden he's telling the truth. Well, how do you know he's telling the truth? How do you know he's not continuing to lie? And even if he is telling the truth, is he telling you the whole truth? Might there be any strategic gaps in the information that's been revealed so far? And also, instead of painting himself as a victim, I mean, surely the victims in this situation are his wife, who he betrayed. She's a victim, clearly, and to a degree, his own family and friends, who by his own admission, he's lied to. So I'm not sure how anyone can see him as a victim. At best, he is the culprit who has had to come out and make some disclosures. But I don't know, a final PR attempt to save his career? I don't know. I mean, I obviously don't know all the details of this one. Meanwhile, the other side of the soap opera is Holly Willoughby. And Holly's been out in her £8 million villa in the Algarve, as you may realise, for the past couple of weeks. Yep, that's the sort of wealth she has. And she's flying in, apparently, over the weekend, and she's going to be on that sofa on Monday. She's fighting for her career, or so her PR department spins it. And we have this lovely image of Holly without any makeup on, but beaming, just all that, you know, inner beauty just coming out at us. She's dazzling. She's natural. Or at least that's what they're trying to tell us. But of course, insiders would tell you that in some regards, I mean, she could be seen to be just as difficult a personality as Philip Schofield. There's not huge amounts of love towards Holly Willoughby from those who worked with Holly Willoughby. And maybe it's because as these individuals have, you know, clawed their way up the ladder in terms of fame, they've maybe not been very nice people. And what is it they say? You know, you should be nice to people as you're going up the ladder, because once you start going down the ladder, you're gonna encounter them, and they will remember what you've been like. And that seems to be pretty much what we're seeing in this scenario at the moment. So whether it's Philip playing the victim card, Whether it's Holly playing that I'm so innocent, I knew nothing of what was going on card, I still think this is fundamentally a busted flush. Could be proven wrong. Maybe Holly Willoughby will somehow come back on the sofa with Alison Hammond or whoever, and everyone's going to go, oh, how lovely. And people won't look at her and see standing right behind her the specter of Phillip Schofield. So I don't know what you think in this one. Is her career salvageable? I would say yes, but not on this morning. I also think she's got some very lucrative contracts with people like Marks and Spencers, for example. And I would be thinking, if I was a Marks and Spencer senior executive, would I want someone with Phillip Schofield affiliations, which Holly Willoughby has, to be representing my brand? I'm not sure about that. Same with some of her beauty contracts as well. I mean, in the final analysis, whether she likes it or not, she sat beside Phillip Schofield for many years, and told us how close they were, and told us that she would stand by him come what may. And of course, once come what may happens, she scarpered, and now she wants to pretend or tell us that. And she may be right. Maybe she knew nothing, but I just think that her reputation has been damaged in this one, and I think she's taken extreme collateral damage as well. It just hasn't fully sunk into her. Anyway, that's the latest in the Philip and Holly saga. Where will it go next? We'll find out next week. Thanks for listening.